Let's pray. Lord Jesus, would you open our hearts and minds to what you have to say to us today by your Holy Spirit. Amen. The prophecy of Micah. We don't often hear it. It speaks of God who is coming, not to the place you'd expect, but to Bethlehem. Verse 2 of Micah chapter 5, "But to you, Bethlehem, though you are small, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." We have no idea how small Bethlehem was, because we know about Bethlehem. We sing about Bethlehem. We send Christmas cards with pictures of Bethlehem on them. And so to us, as people who know about Jesus, who know the Bible stories, we know Bethlehem just as we know Haney. It's a place where things happened. But in the time the prophecy would have been made, it would have been quite outlandish that the God of the universe would pick a tiny, unsuspecting village, that would be the place where finally the king would come. The king who would not have a short reign, the king who would reign for all time. He will stand, verse 4, and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. The greatness of this king who was to be born in the tiniest and unlikeliest of places would, verse 4, reach to the ends of the earth. I appreciate it is very hard to listen to prophecy knowing how it turns out. I've been watching Midsummer Murders on the Pluto Free TV channel. Has anyone else ever watched Midsummer Murders? And you kind of know what's going to happen after a while. And the shows repeat themselves. And I have these moments when I think, I've seen this one before, and I know how it's going to go. It's not like that for the people who would have heard this prophecy and read this prophecy, and for a number of hundred years between the Old and New Testament would have sat with this prophecy expecting that a Messiah would come. It's okay for us because we know how the story turns out. But if we spend just a moment in Micah, before we jump to the excitement of Luke, if we spend just a moment in Micah and think, what would that be like? If it helps, close your eyes. What would it be like to imagine that finally the king for all time would come to the smallest, unlikeliest of places? And that you might look forward to, as verse 4 says, living securely, being safe. Fast forward a few hundred years to Luke chapter 1. And Mary's getting ready. She hurries to a town in the hill country of Judea, Luke 1 chapter 39, and enters Zechariah's home and greets Elizabeth. Turns out Elizabeth is also pregnant, and she's going to give birth to John the Baptist. Do you remember him? Good, because I've talked about him for the last 2 weeks running. Good. Today, John the Baptist, we don't get to talk about him much. All he does is leaps. When Elizabeth hears Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. Some of you will have experienced that or been around someone when they've experienced the baby leaping, feeling a kick. In a loud voice, filled with the Spirit, Elizabeth exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." "But why am I so favored," says Elizabeth, "that you, Mary, the mother of our Lord, should come to me?" There's an excitement between Mary and Elizabeth. They catch something of the significance of what's going on. And I don't know how they weren't overwhelmed. I'm sure they were overwhelmed. A baby is always going to be overwhelming. Have you ever met someone who says, "Yeah, having children won't change my life"? But this was not just a child. This was the Son of God, the Messiah, the one who had been promised was coming. And I guess a lot of people wouldn't have known that the Messiah was coming. But for Mary and Elizabeth, this profound sense of 9 months of holy, expectant waiting. And so Mary says the words that we call the Magnificat. The Magnificat comes from Latin because the church likes to give things Latin names sometimes, and this is one of them. And it's the most wonderful and beautiful song, Mary's heart song. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." How Mary is able to praise God. How overwhelmed must she be with all that's going on in her head? She's not a queen, a rich ruler. She's a humble servant. God of the universe chose to send the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords to her. It shows God's way of acting that is upside down, that is not the way we would expect. If it was us, we'd probably do it differently. Some of you out here are planners, and you would have a plan. Others are more last-minute people, but whether you're a planner or a last-minute person, you probably wouldn't have thought to pick a random 13, 14-year-old girl to be the one who was to give birth to the Son of God. And so in the Magnificat, she shares that heart song of how much she's been touched by God. And this is all very lovely and all very nice, but what does it have to do with me? You might be thinking. Because God shows us time and again through Scripture, and this is arguably one of the best examples of this, that it's not the people who are perfect who are picked. It's the ones who are willing to give it a go. It's not the people who have all the answers, but the ones who are willing to sit with the questions. It's not the ones who have all the earthly power, but the ones who have the power of a humble heart. And really, the whole of Christmas, the narrative we'll hear over the coming days, reminds us to stay humble, to stay ready for what it is that God might do with us. Now, I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that any of us are about to have another baby that's the Son of God. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, if that's the kind of way that God acts, I wonder what God might do with you, is already doing and is yet to do. And we're all ages here, from very young to very young at heart. Is that a good way to put it? Thank you. The warden just said, well done. I'm taking that as an encouragement. Thank you. But whatever age we are, whatever stage of life, however many times we've heard this story before, however many times we've sung Tell Out My Soul, the Magnificat, or read it, or heard the scripture, or listened to the Christmas story, if we're here today, God has a purpose for us. And that purpose changes over time, for sure. But as long as we're on the earth, God has plans for us and continues to use us. And really, the prophecy that's fulfilled in the unlikeliest of places, with the unlikeliest of people, just makes me think of us. Because I don't know about you, but I feel like the unlikeliest of people in the unlikeliest of places. And yet, God chooses me as God chooses each and every one of you to be bearers of good news, to have the conversations at the Christmas dinner table about what joy means, to share a word of encouragement with the delivery driver, the postal worker, the checkout person, whoever it is you're going to encounter in these next few days. Each of us have the opportunity to share the good news of God in Christ here on earth this Christmas. And we don't have to go to Israel to do it. We don't have to go off to Africa as a missionary to do it. We can do it right here. So I'm going to leave a moment of quiet, and then I'm going to pray. And in the quiet, I just wonder if you would listen to see if there's something God is saying to you about what he might be calling you to do this Christmas and into the new year. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. So God, we pray that each and every one of us would know your will for us, would hear your voice, and would take steps to serve you this Christmas and always. Amen.